last time we brought us up to Magid, since they will start at Magid. This is where you get to the Kishkas of the Agada. Magid, that's all about.
Everything until now. Kishkas on Pesach.
Pesach the Kishka.
Totally a waste of space.
Potato starch. Magid is where you actually are. Magid, you do this, the mitzvah, Super Sister Triumph, you're telling over the story. And that is the main part and the main place in the Gada we should be entering into discussion of everything we discussed before. The Yesod Emuna, the actual story of Mitzrayim, the Nisim, the Niflos, the Makos, and everything else. So let's begin with, let's try to run through Magid again with some running commentary here and just try to bring out certain Yesodos of Yesod Mitzrayim, Yesod Emuna, which you find through the Gada in Magid. So let's begin with Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya itself, it's kind of a mysterious paragraph. I don't think it's even clear exactly how it entered into the Agada, per se. It's not part of the original Magid. But again, it's something which we have in our Agada. What?
Makes a cool song.
Makes a cool song. A lot is written on Halach Ma'anya. Sounds Egyptian a little bit, right? Gives you a little bit the desert flavor. Yeah,
you never heard it?
Well, Arab flavor. But anyways, so the... I'll show you if you report from Yad Mitzrayim. Maybe you saw this one already. I don't know if you saw this one, Yad Mitzrayim. Yitzchak Azuchover is the Haggadah Yad Mitzrayim, which to me is one of my favorite Haggadahs. It's a lot of different ideas, which are very much, I think, to the point. Okay. And the Chasim Sofer isn't to this year. It's not the one. Yad Mitzrayim is a classic I've used for many years. So,
what's it called?
Yad Mitzrayim. Written by Yitzchak Azuchover. Really, a huge gadol in both halacha, machshava, Kabbalah, all years of Torah. He was known to be somebody who was a baki, a gadol. So he writes, when we say halach ma'anya, so this is the nekuda of matzah. And it says, diachal avasan me'arad Mitzrayim. It's what they ate in Mitzrayim. So there's a famous kasha, which has to be understood, which is that later on in the Haggadah, we say, matzah zu shanochu shumba, why we eat matzah? And we say, we eat matzah because, let's speak, matzeikam, shal v'seinu, because there wasn't enough time for their bread to rise when they left Mitzrayim, because they had to leave in such a hurry. So we eat matzah to remember the fact that they rushed out of Mitzrayim in such a hurry, and they didn't have time for the bread to rise. But then it's Tzivui Mitzrayim itself, prior to the Yetziyah, to eat matzah. When they were sitting there in their Seder in Mitzrayim, on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, before they rushed out, they had to eat matzah there as well. So there seems to be two different aspects to matzah. So he points out, what's the nekuda? There's two aspects to matzah. There's the matzah we eat in Mitzrayim, there's the matzah we eat when we left Mitzrayim. Two separate matzahs. The matzah, so when we eat the matzah in the Seder later on, there's an Indian, like we say, that it's lohistik mitzeikam lahachmetz. But there's also the nekuda of eating matzah in Mitzrayim. So he says, you look at Pesach, Pesach has also two separate lechas of matzah. On the first night is the lechem oni, and you have to eat matzah l'shem mitzvah, and the matzah has to be lechem oni, meaning it can't contain anything other than flour and water, you can't have any juices, you can't have any honey, you can't have any eggs. It has to be matzah aniya, lechem oni. There's in matzah shira. Matzah shira, our minhag is not to eat this matzah, the minhag ashkenazim at least.
But can you?
I mean, it's not. It's kosher l'pesach, but it's a minhag to avoid it. If you're old and you need something soft to chew, if you have digestive problems, whatever it is, you need it, there's a theorem for it. But a healthy, young, strapping Ashkenazi Jew should not be eating matzah shira at all in Pesach. But yet, Meker did its mutter, Yerati matzah shira. But the mitzvah of the night, of the first night of Pesach, mitzvah the rest of the matzah, cannot be done matzah shira. It has to be done only matzah aniyah. So, even though Meker did its mutter, that's the Pesach, that first night, you can't get your mitzvah with it. So what's the difference? So he says that the rest of Pesach started from night one and onwards, besides the mitzvah, we're just trying to show that we eat lechem, which was never machmitz. So it can be a shira, it doesn't matter if it's a shira, if there's honey in it, that's fine. As long as it didn't become chametz, it's not a problem. For the matzah mitzvah, the very first one you're going to eat, and for the first night of Pesach, that matzah, the one which we have is our mitzvah deraisa, has to be lechem oni. So what's the nekud of lechem oni? Lechem oni is something which is just flour and water. He says, what was the message? Because Baruch Hu is giving us the message in Mitzrayim that we have to have dafka flour and water in our matzah and nothing else. Why? Because the alignment system with Shiraim was that we're entering into Avodas Hashem for the very first time. It's the time it's when we came Tachas Kanfei Shechina the first time in the alignment system with Shiraim. So it says that we have to understand the Ikar and Avodas Hashem is that our focus is not on Gashmias. It's not on food, it's not on luxuries, it's not on the taste. We eat because we have to, because it's a human need, it's a necessity. But you're not going to become a great Eved Hashem if your focus is on food and luxuries and comforts. So the very first thing we do when we come out of the Hashem is enter into as we enter into Yetzirah Mitzrayim, Leave Mitzrayim. The very first matzah we eat is just simplicity. It's just the flour and the water to show that our focus has to be dafka on ruchnius. Gashmius is here only for our necessities and to maintain us, but it's not here to be our focus or our goal. You can't be an Eved Hashem if your focus is on the food. Once we have that in mind, so we go on to Pesach, Yivata Matzah Shira. But the first building block of a Yid in Avodas Hashem is to understand the focus is on the world of Ruchni, it's not the world of Gashmius. The Gemara says that if you want to Shteig in Torah, before you start davening, the Torah should enter into your body, you should daven that all the delicacies leave your body. And then because the more of the delicacies you take in, so the less Torah you're going to take in. There's an inverse relationship between the two. And the more we can moderate and remove ourselves from a focus on Olam Hazeh and on Gashmias, the more we're able to bring in Torah and Ruchis into our body. So Matzah Aniyah, Lechem Ani, the very first night of Pesach, is that message to us. That's what he writes.
And the connection to eating it like before they left Egypt or afterwards?
So he's saying that the matzah they had that night prior to leaving, that was lechem oni dafka. Because their message was, before you become Avdei Hashem, recognize this point first. Once they left, they could go ahead and eat matzah shira.
And they wanted to run that matzah.
That could have been a matzah shira. I mean, that was no game. I mean, it's certainly the same matzah they took along with them. But the mitzvah matzah they were given that very first night, before he left Mitzrayim, was you have to have matzah aniyah. You have to understand that it's not about gashmias, it's not about food, it's not about luxuries, it's about ruchnias and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's all about. Then he says, even kol dichvin yesev yechol, kol ditzrich yesev yifsach, is telling you that you come and eat because you're chvin, because you're hungry. You come and yifsach because you need it. But you don't eat because that's like your geshmak. You eat because you need to eat. That's what you do. That's the lashon he says. This is another quick vort here. This is the Chasam Sofer. He says, when we say kol dichvin yesev yechol, kol ditzrich yesev yisach, so basically we invite in people to your Seder. You say, anybody who's hungry should come and join me. If you need, come in and have Pesach with me. Or the Karm Pesach, if you want to touch it. The Chasam Sofer says that there's a big yesod we have in Yiddishkeit, which is different than other religions. Others might tell you the key to spirituality, to ruchnias, to connecting with God, is having solitude. To being out there by yourself, meditating in a cave somewhere on top of a mountain, sitting in a thorn bush for 10 years and singing, I don't know. But that's what they tell you. But yeah. You're that guy, right?
Yeah.
Which guy?
He was like Central Park dude. Yeah.
So that's what people think Ruchnius is. Torah tells you it's wrong. Torah tells you that, you know, Eino Dome Atem Moskim Ram Moskim Atem Moskim Torah, Vivdin of a Tzibur, of a Klal Yisrael, of a Kahal, and there's an Indian of serving Kosh Baruch Hu Barovam. And true Ruchnius is B'tzibur. With the call with the community. And the Chasam Sofer says, the fact that you invite people into your Seder is an akuda to show that we must steig in Ruchnias as dafka with others as a tzibur.
What's
his, what does he say again? On kol dich when you're inviting everybody to come into your Seder. So the akuda is to have the Seder but tzibur with others, that's how you steig in Ruchnias. But it's not to remain in solitude. The gematria of matzah is kahal. It's the same gematria. Kahal and matzah. The matzah is the akuda of kehilo. The Karm Pesach is eating dafka in groups. Right, there's a machlokes. We had to have Karm Pesach for an individual. We had to have it in groups, and then it was because serving Kosh Baruch Hu in groups, that's the way we serve Kosh Baruch Hu. Dafka as a klal, and then a minyan, tefil betzibur. Everything about Yiddishkeit is betzibur and berovam, and that's the way we serve Kosh Baruch Hu. The next we'll go to Manishtana. So Manishtana is the questions. There's a din lahalacha. There's a famous word from Rav Chaim Brisker. Rav Chaim says that how do you differentiate between Zechira, Sitzus Mitzrayim, every single day of the year, to Lil Seder? We also talk about Sitzus Mitzrayim. What's the difference? Like, we have a mitzvah every single night to mention Sitzus Mitzrayim. It's a matter of being a Lil Seder. He says that there's three basic chilukim. He says number one is that the Seder has to be done in a form of Maskav Lil Seder B'Shvach. You're supposed to start with the bad and with the good. There's actually an order of how you do it. Number two, he says that you're supposed to do it derech shaila v'tshuva, questions and answers. And number three says there's an Indian of telling over time a mitzvah. So you have to say Pesach zu shenoch mishum ma. Why eat the Pesach? Why eat the matzah? Why eat the mar? Like Rabbi Gamliel says, you have to say all the different time a mitzvahs as well.
To speak them out.
Those are the three differences that he has between the regular mitzvah to remember Mitzrayim versus the mitzvah of Seder night. But this didn't. Right?
Could Rabbi repeat them?
the three is Derech Shaila V'Tshuva. It has to be done in a form of question and answer and speaking to another person, like a conversation form. Number two is Maschel B'Gnus and Asayim B'Shvach. So to start with the Gnus, with the shame, and with the praise. And number three is that you have to say over the time of mitzvah, so Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, which you don't have every other night of the year. This is about Reb Chaim and Stenzel. But the school of question and answer is an Ikar Nakuda of the Pesach Seder. This is how the whole Haggadah begins. And that what's the idea? Why is it important to have questions? What's the idea? So the Maral has a Nakuda. The Maral says that when somebody just is told information, so you don't absorb the information quite in the same way. Because you have no makkum within yourself to take it in. If you weren't curious about it, you weren't asking about it, you didn't create that void to be filled. When you ask a question, that means that you're not open for an answer. You've created a void in yourself. Right?
Sounds like a Ravar in Turkey.
It is a Ravar in Turkey. Where do you think I've learned my Ravar?
Like a Makkum thingy. Create a place.
Yeah, it has to be Makkum for it. Exactly. 100%. That's where he gets it from, that's where I got it from. But the Maral says that there has to be there's a Nakuda that when you have questions, you're able to take in the answers. And the point is that the Seder is not a lecture. A lecture is where someone's coming and pounding you information. The Seder is a Nakuda where you're sitting there and you're trying to develop within yourself a Makkum to take in all the asodas of the Seder. So the Seder begins with questions and has to keep on continuing with questions. And again, the Haggadah is merely just an outline or a platform to have it all upon. You're supposed to develop your own questions and answers and develop your own discussions in the Seder. That's the idea of the questions. So we ask the four kashas, and we get to Avad Mayinu. So Avad Mayinu is always interesting, because we have the line in there. Avad Mayinu v'etzim is the ikkar answer to the questions. Why do we do all these things? Because we were slaves and Hashem freed us. But it says, V'ilolotzi kosh baruch hu'os avasinim Mitzrayim, Hashem takes out of Mitzrayim, Hari anu v'neinu v'nevaneinu, we and our children and our grandchildren would still be meshivet to parah Mitzrayim. That's what we say. So everyone asks the question, it's an obvious question. Plenty of nations have been enslaved throughout history. They didn't have such a yitzia like Yitzis Mitzrayim, and they've been freed. The blacks in America, Civil War, just a case, case in point, there was no Kriyas Yamsuf for them, no Ten Makos, but they were also freed. So what's the pshat that had a Kosh Baruch taken us out, we'd still be Meshuvah to Parah Mitzrayim? What does that mean? Interesting thing, right? I don't know if that's what you're thinking or not, but...
Well, your example answered the question.
Hashem took them out. Hashem takes everybody out. I'm saying, why wouldn't they take us out as well? So what's the answer? So there's a Sifzei Chaim on this, which I think is a nice shot. Sifzei Chaim says that Avada, we would have gone out physically from Mitzrayim. At some point, over the course of thousands of years, things, history changes, nations change, we could have gone free. That's not the point. But we know that had Hashem not come in and freed us al korcho de Paro, against Paro's will, and Paro freed us, so we would feel a sense of gratitude and feel indebted to Paro. If you feel karsov to somebody, so you can be influenced by that person. You're meshubbet. Meshubbet in the sense that I'm indebted to you, not that I'm a slave to you. The Sifzei Chaim says that I'm meshubbet to you, that I owe you something because you did such good for me. If Paro had said, okay, Klal Yisrael, I'm willing to free you, then we're going to give some sort of value to Paro and who he is and his opinion and his feelings. And Paro will still have an influence on us this very day. And we'll always think back, that Paro was such a great person. And he was our Abraham Lincoln,
opposite with like blacks and stuff. It's more of like America feels Meshuvah to them
America thinks are kind of a little crumb. But I can imagine that the blacks feel a lot of gratitude to Abraham Lincoln for what he did, And I feel that they probably are Maori. I don't know.
Note, he was of the opinion that slavery should continue.
Abraham Lincoln.
He was a civil servant, so he obeyed the voice of the people.
Okay. Whatever. But the point being, when someone does something for you, you're Meshuvah. So he goes on Vayter and he says, he answers some other questions as well. When you read the Chumash, it's very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu asks just for 3 days to go out. Derech Shoshes Yamim, to go out and serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He doesn't say we have to go free forever. He just wants a few days out on the Midbar to bring Karbanos. That's all Moshe Rabbeinu wants. We left Mitzrayim. We took all of their property, but we didn't say give it to us. We asked to borrow it. We asked to borrow it, a long-term loan, right? But we didn't actually say give us your property, give us all your money. So Rav Chaim Friedlander, he's a Mustapshat. He says that All these things are to show that Paro and Mitzrayim had no yad at all in freeing us. Had Paro said, okay, even after the Makkos, if Paro said, okay, everyone, you guys are free, then we would have still felt some sense that Paro freed us. It has to be all Kadosh Baruch Hu. If the Mitzrayim say, here's all our money, take it and go, it wasn't just a loan, they're giving us their money. We would have said, oh, the Mitzrayim, you know, we have their money. They gave us something. So there's something from them there. But the Kudah Mitzrayim was to show that it's all from Kadosh Baruch Hu. There was nothing at all that came from the Mitzrayim. Paro did not do a thing. The Mitzrayim gave us absolutely nothing. It was all Kadosh Baruch Hu. I feel no sense of gratitude. I'm not indebted. I have no feelings at all towards the Mitzrayim Bechlal. They did nothing for me. And that's how you're supposed to leave Mitzrayim. So when we left for a few days, and it says, Kibaruch Ha'am, Paro was told that we fled, because he was waiting for us to come back. He thought, okay, 10 makos, that's wonderful, but you guys got to get back to work. 3 days is up. Where are you guys? Right? And the Mitzrayim gave us a loan. They said, okay, I'd like all my pots and pans back next week. When you get back from the desert, bring your pots and pans back. That's what they felt. And then we fled, so that shows that they gave us nothing out of their own free will. It was all Kadosh Baruch Hu coercing them. It was all through Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the point. And based on that, Chaim says that we can no longer be, we're not influenced by the Mitzrayim, because we feel no sense of gratitude towards them. The Rav Aaron always tells the story, I know you guys heard it on Shabbos morning, he tells it many, many times before, that there was once, I think it was a Rosh Yeshiva in Tveria, and he was offered money by the Israeli government to help his yeshiva or something. And he was concerned. He said, you know what, if I take your money, then I'm concerned that, like, you want to kind of, like, direct, like, what happens in the yeshiva. And I don't want the government to do my yeshiva. So the official from the government said, don't worry, take the money, and we're not going to get involved. He said, you don't understand. If I take your money, you're not going to tell me, but I'm going to go ask you what to do. Because I'm going to feel such a connection with you. I'm going to ask you, what should I do in my yeshiva? I'm going to feel like I have to go ask you. So I don't want to have that influence. If Paro gave us anything, deep down, there'd be some sense of going to Paro and asking him for some sort of hashpa. So Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that nothing was given to the Paro. That's what it says. Had Hashem not done it, we'd still be Meshubah to Paro. We'd have some sort of sense of debt towards Paro if it did for us. The paragraph continues. It says, Afilu kolonu chachamim, kolonu nevonim, kolonu zakenim, kolonu mis haTorah. Even if we were all wise, understanding, we were zakenim, and we knew the Torah, it's still mitzvah lino saper v'sis mitzrayim, v'marbe v'saper v'sis mitzrayim, raisin v'shubach. It's still a mitzvah to talk about Mitzrayim, and the more you talk about it, the more praiseworthy it is. So many of the Mefarshim point out, what's the Nakuda over here? And it's an important Nakuda as a Hakdama to the Seder, which is that if this is Mitzrayim, if the Seder was just the way to get across information, so the Gadol Hador knows all the information. I mean, we know plenty, we've been through the Seder many, many times, we know what it says in the Haggadah, we've heard the Midrashim, we've seen the Chumash, and there's always more to learn. But the Seder isn't about the information. The Seder is about, you call it marvelous saper, because the Seder is about getting across the feelings of Adon Kar Sov to Kosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Seder is about. So even if you know the information backwards and forwards, you've seen every single Medrash, you've read through the Chumash a million times, you know every single Rishon says in the Chumash, and you could tell over all the stories and everything about Mitzrayim that possibly could be told, you still mitzvah the saper on the Seder night, because it's not about getting information. We know the information. It's about the feelings of a Karas Hatov towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Nakuda. And that's what, and this is all part of the Hakdama to the Seder. And that's why it's Meshubach. The Chasm Sefer points out over here, he says that the Seder, we mentioned last time, the Seder is built on the Hodas Bikurim. Right? The Rami Ovid Avi, Vir Mitzrayim, but the whole story we tell is not built on what it says in Parsha Shmos in Bo Meshal Chimera. It's built on what it says in Parsha Kisavo. What's the Pshat? So over there we're talking about Hodas Bikurim. And it says over there in Hadas Bikurim, it says, you go to the Kohen Asher Yebayimahim. You go to the Kohen who's there in your times. So the typical understanding of that point, which has Chazal Darshan on it, is that whatever Kohen it is, even if he's the lowest of the low, the most lousy Kohen around, you go to, he's a Kohen, you go to him and give him your Bikurim. That's what Chazal point out there. The Chasam Sofer says, well, you also the opposite as well. Even the Kohen is the Gadol Hador, he's the Chofetz Chaim. Right, he's the Kohen, the Chofetz Chaim. And trust me, he knows everything you're going to tell him. But you still are magid to him the whole story of Yitzchus Mitzrayim when you go through your Bikurim. Why is that the same Nakuda? Because it's not about telling the Kohen the information, it's about bringing yourself the sense of a Karas Tov and Hadat of Zekosh Baruch Hu. So that's the whole Nakuda of the Seder is that. So the Hakomar Masabrim Meshubach is that the more you talk about the story, it's nothing to do with trying to understand information better. It's about getting to the feelings of a Karas Tov towards Zekosh Baruch Hu. Next Maisa we have Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Tarfon sitting around at the Seder in Bnei Brak. And they were talking the entire night until Talmidim came and said, Rav Lusenu gives my Krishma shel Shachris. So they said, it's the morning already. So much Torah has been said upon, you know, why were they there all night long? Is there a mispass chasis to talk, especially when Moshe Zaryu holds? There's a lot of things said on that. But what's the nakuda over here? They spoke until Zman Kriyashma Shel Shacharis. So I believe it's Sfas Emes. He says that the nakuda of Leila Seder is that we should leave the night with a Kriyashma, meaning with the Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim. Right? You have your Seder, and you tell the stories, you feel Hakar Satov, Hakar Baruch Hu, for all the chesed done for us, for the nisim and the flows which occurred to us in Mitzrayim. And at the end of the day, or end of the night, what do you feel? You feel the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim like a Krishma. That's a Chassidish Shavur. That's what Sfas Emes says. I think it's Sfas Emes. You walk away with that fresh feeling that I want to be makabel upon myself to serve Hakar Baruch Hu in a better way now. So they said over the story of Mitzrayim until Krishma came, because the ceiling, the kuda of the Pesach Seder is a Krishma, is a Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim. There's a deeper nakuda here, and I saw it brought out from the Maimunus Nitecha by Rav Wolfson. So the Zohar says that on the night of Yitzchus Mitzrayim, the sun never set. The sun was shining in its full, blazing sunlight, like it was in the middle of the summer, the entire night through. The sun didn't set that night, that's what the Zohar says.
That's
a good shaila.
And how did they do the mitzvah? All mitzvahs talk all night long.
No mitzvahs.
No, the actual.
No, the actual night is Mitzrayim. I'm not talking about what's happening in Bnei Brak.
Wait, didn't we say there was like only a couple times in history where like the sun stopped or something, or like it didn't turn dark? In Yeshua, it like happened.
The Shemesh Megivon Dome.
Right.
Yeah, and you have it.
It only happened.
It's a Zohar. I'm saying you could have, you know. It's not necessarily a stira. I could be talking about a different madriga, you know. But I don't know if it means physical, not physical. You don't know what it means exactly. But the sun didn't set the night of Pesach Shrayim. So the night, and many Sfarim bring out, the night of Pesach has a bechin of yom to it. It's like a yom. Most mitzvahs we do are daytime mitzvahs. We have very few nighttime mitzvahs that we do. But the Seder is a mitzvah at night. There's a halacha. The halal is supposed to be said only during the day. Mizrach Shemesh Amavom Hol Shem Hashem. The halal you say from Mizrach Shemesh, sunrise to sunset. Here on Pesach night, we say halal. Right? So the, not necessarily halacha dik nekuda, but the machshava dik nekuda of it, is that Pesach night is a bechina of daytime. It's not a bechina of nighttime. So it's considered within the realm of the sun shining, even though it seems dark outside. So what happened here in Bnei Brak? So Mustecha says that why they know is Mankrishma. He says because if you're in the Haggadah to such a depth, if you're reliving the story, so the world around you becomes daytime as well. If the night of Mitzrayim was daylight. So they were living the Seder, they saw daylight around them. These Gedolei Olam, they saw daylight around them. So they couldn't tell if it was night or day because it was light the entire night through. So the Talmidim have to come in and tell them it's Zman Kriyashma now. Because they couldn't tell themselves. That's the Nakuda.
How did the Talmidim know?
Because they were on the Madriga. They were on that Madriga. I'm saying, if you're on that Madriga...
They were on the Madriga that they felt that they were...
They actually, if you're reliving the story to the extent your mom is sitting there in Mitzrayim, then to you it's also light around you. Because your mom is reliving what was happening in Mitzrayim according to the Zohar. But, you know, so the Talmidim, they were on the Madriga of the Rebbeim, so they were able to come in and say it's Zman Kriyashma Shacharis now. He even says that's why it's not so pushy. You have in the next part of the Gemara talks about the chiyuv of saying, you sit Mitzrayim at night. So the kasha is, well, of course you should be zocher sit Mitzrayim at night every single night because the nisim of Mitzrayim happened at night. That was when the Yetziah was. That was Makas Bechoros. That's when it all happened. But if you say, no, that night wasn't really a night, that night was really a day, then it's not one of the pushy anymore. You know, that's what he says. It's a cute thing. But what's the nakuda we can bring out of it? What's the nakuda that night was a daytime? So Chazal talk about, Gemara says, Om Haz is Dom Lalaila, and Om Haba is Dom Lalayom. Right? This world is considered like a nighttime. Om Haba is like a daytime. What's the clue this world is considered like a nighttime? Because nighttime is a time of darkness, of confusion, of we're not so clear about things. Things are fuzzy. You know, Menoskav Alelos. The nighttime requires a Muna, because at nighttime we don't really know what's happening. Nighttime, you know, we don't even understand nighttime, because we have electric lighting. Picture nighttime, in the, you know, 200 years ago. There was nothing. It was dark. It was scary. Quiet. Nobody went out in the streets. It was, you know, Yeah, the Chazros come here. I mean, it was a very different nighttime than we're used to. But the Olam Haba is Dumb Lalaila. And Olam Haba is Dumb Layom. So the night of the Sisters Rayim, it wasn't a night, because the clarity of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Gili which was there, the Gili Shechina which you had on the Sisters Rayim, was to the extent that that night had no Bechina of darkness at all. It was total clarity which they had at that point. And it's something that we can also, that the night of the Seder is for us to achieve clarity and Amuna and Ashkafa and a purpose in our lives. And that's something which we can also attain that night. That's the Segula in the air on Leilatis Mitzrayim. I mean, at the end of the Seder in the Piyut, you have in Nirtza, it says, Karev Yom Asher Hulo Yom Lelaila. Bring us close to the day which is neither day nor night. Ram Hoida Ki Lachaha Yom Abchalela. Because Baruch Hu, you should make known that yours is the day and the night. Shemafik Yidur Chol Yom Abchalela. You should appoint guards to your city the entire day and night. Tayar Ka'or Yom Asheshchas Vayikvatsi Laila. You should light up the darkness of night. Like or yom, that's what we say at the end of that of the piyut of Vayakidu Hatzi Alayla. That's the nekuda, that there's a certain mechin of darkness which we have in Olam Hazeh, and Pesach has ability to light up that darkness and give us that clarity. So that's part of this Indian over here you have of these Tanayim sitting there at their Seder in Bnei Brak. Let's move a little bit here. So Baruch HaMakom. So we then have after this the story, the Mishnah from Brachos about when does be Zocher Yisus Mitzrayim in night. Look at the Baruch HaMakom. It says, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu Zotar Lamo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. It's a funny phrase, kind of seems to be thrown in randomly in the middle of the Haggadah. It's unclear exactly what its purpose is. So I'll share with you another word from Yad Mitzrayim over here. Mitzvah Zuchavar. He says, what are we saying here? Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu Zotar Lamo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. So then you have Makom. He says, Makom is that shame which we use for Kosh Baruch Hu, that is our recognition of Hashem running the world al Piteva. Hashem is the makom. In the makom around us, the place we live in, is what we see around us. You know, we see land, and we see a sky, and we see the rules of nature, and we see trees, and we see flowers and animals. That's the bechin of makom. The Kosh Baruch Hu is the foundation upon all which teva runs. That's the meaning of makom. He says that the issue we have with makom, with Hashem running all pi teva, is that you can lose Hashem. You know, there are many scientists out there that unfortunately are atheists, and they can see how the world runs in many, many ways, and they can explain it all without God. And when nature is something which seems to run on its own, it seems to be self-sufficient, independent. So in Mela, it's very hard at times to see Kosh Baruch Hu through nature. So that's Baruch HaMakom. Baruch Hu tells you that really, even though it looks like it's running itself, Baruch Hu, it's all Kosh Baruch Hu. And the Mashal says it's like an Uman with a Keli. Nature is a Keli Kosh Baruch Hu uses. He's the Umin. He's running it all behind the scenes. So Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is a Gili V'Kosh Baruch Hu, that he is the Makom, and through the Makom we can perceive him. That's number one. I always point out that there's two Giluyim of Kosh Baruch Hu in this world. Kosh Baruch Hu Megal himself in Ma'aseh Bereishis, and that's when Hashem determined the laws of science and nature and created the world as we see it, the trees and the grass and the animals. There's Gili Har Sinai. So Baruch HaMakom is tapping into that Gilui of Hashem Bereishis. Hashem created a world at Bereishis where you can see Hashem. It's a Gilui, meaning Hashem revealed himself. And through nature, you can find the Kodesh Baruch. The Rambam says, if you want, how do you come to Avas Hashem, Yeros Hashem? He says, you're misbonin in the world. And that brings you to a tremendous awe of Hashem, and a tremendous love from Hashem, and desire to connect with Hashem. But he says, misbonin in the world is what brings you to that. So the world itself, the Makom, Baruch HaMakom, that's a way to find the Kosh Baruch Hu, and there's a Baruch Hu on that. Don't think the Makom is void of Hashem. The Makom is Hashem. That's what Yad Mitzrayim says. And then he says, then the Haggadah says, Baruch Shasat HaLam Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Goes to the second Gili. The other Gili of Hashem in this world is Har Sinai. Hashem gave us the Torah, Har Sinai, and Hashem is Megala himself in the Torah. Hashem is Megala how he runs the world. He's Megala the mitzvahs, his Ratzin. And Baruch Shasat HaLam Yisrael is the way which is the new one Haggadah after Yisrael Mitzrayim. The world changed at that point. The Yitzis Mitzrayim, until that point, the world was run basically through Teva. There was no Am Yisrael, and there was no mission and mitzvahs and averus that we had. And the world was run basically al pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu system he put into place. At Yitzis Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shod in marachos. He broke down all the systems. The world has systems. The world, we believe in mazalos. We believe in kochavim. We believe that things have influences out there. Malachim. And Yitzis Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke that all down, and he said that there's going to be a new order in this world. It's called Torah. And Torah means that based on Klai Yisrael's actions, that's what's going to determine what happens in this world. If Klai Yisrael is doing mitzvahs, this world's going to run in a certain way. If they do a veris chashom, it runs in a different way. And this was a new hanhaga which was unleashed as his Mitzrayim. At that point, everything changed. So the Baruch Shem Torah Moshe Baruch Hu is the new Gili of Hashem. It's the Gili of how the world's going to function after his Mitzrayim, after Matan Torah. And the Baruch Hu is that you're going to see Hashem through this new hanhaga, through these new niflos and nisim which you perceive as Mitzrayim and onwards. If the new hanhaga is Hashem, which happens in the world after Mitzrayim, you're going to perceive Hashem in a new way at that point.
How's that?
Because now you're going to see how the world events correlate with Klal Yisrael, which is very different than before. With Mitzrayim, the world kind of just ran on its own right. After Mitzrayim, the world runs based on Klal Yisrael. And the emphasis is, you can look at world history. You can see how world events in Klal Yisrael work so much hand in hand. You look at a newspaper even today, and you look about how many articles are about Jews, Israel, Obama's, interaction with Israel. I mean, you see that Klal Yisrael becomes the forefront of the whole world. And you see that all of history. And it's a new hanhaga where Klal Yisrael are the ones who have the keys to run this world. And that's what happens after this Mitzrayim. That's the Gilui. So the Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is these ways in which we're going to perceive a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it shows us the transition of the world from how things function prior to Yisus Mitzrayim, how things function after Yisus Mitzrayim. Then we get into the Arba Banim. The Arba Banim.
Yeah. Why do we have it over here?
So I'm not quite sure why we have it over here, but this is the point where we get into the Sipur. Everything until now was Hakdama, right? So it could be once you get into the Sipur, this is the Hakdama of the Sipur, showing that you're going to see now how the transformation is about to happen. That's how I can understand it. But I mean, until now we were just talking about there's Halach Ma'anya, there's Manashtana, there's the Maaser Yisrael. There are all these different halachas and hakdamas that we made. So it could be this is kind of like the intro to what's about to come. But I'm not 100% clear on how that kind of leads into the Rabbanim.
The four Lashonos.
Yes, they're mafarshim to say how each Lashon corresponds to different one of the sons. But still, it's like, still why? Like, why it's a cute connection, but like, why is it stuck right here? Like, why do you need that line in the Chalal?
Says that the Baruch HaMakom is in
the sensing. I'm saying you can line up each Baruch HaMakom with each son, but I'm saying just the why do we have to do it is the question. What's the purpose of that line here?
I thought you were asking something else.
The Seder. Right. So we have here. What? The Seder. All right, good. So let's look at so we have now the Arba Banim. The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the Lishol. So the Chasam Sefer has an interesting point about the questions of the Chacham versus the Rasha. He says, how do you differentiate between the two questions? So the Chacham asks, Ma'edus v'chukim mishpatim. So Eidos v'chukim mishpatim, Mefarshim explain, Eidos are mitzvahs that are more like symbolic. Like they're not chukim, but they're not like mishpatim. Like it's like Shabbos or Pesach or maybe tefillin or tzitzis, or things that you can see symbolism in them. They correspond to certain inyanim and events in class history. It's not like a chuk, like shatnez or basar v'cholov. It's not a mishpat, like losigzel. That's what it is. Chukim are the things which we don't understand, obviously, and mishpatim are the things which are more rational and more civil law, financial law, etc. So he differentiates between different types of mitzvahs. The chacham, he's a chacham, he's able to be mavchin between different things. Asher tziva Hashem akinu, eschem. It says that Hashem has commanded us. That's his question. Eschem meaning you, correct. The Rasha's question, Ma avoda hazos lachem? What is this avoda to you? So the Chacham Sefer says, you see a big difference in the questions. I mean, there's a lot of differences, but one major difference is the word zos. The Rasha is looking at the Seder, pointing things at the table and say, what does this mean to you? The Chacham is asking conceptually, what are all these mitzvahs? What are all these edus? What are all these mishpatim? The Chacham Sefer says that the Rasha is clearly asking the question, b'shas maisa. He sees in front of him mitzvahs to do, and he says, I'm not doing these mitzvahs, I understand them. That's what he does. What's this avoda? What is Matzah doing here? The Chacham understands that avodas Hashem is something we have to do, whether or not we understand it. And it's the yisod that we're supposed to ask and ask and ask. We're supposed to be chokher v'dorish, and we're supposed to understand every mitzvah the best we possibly can. We're supposed to, that's what we sit here in yeshiva, we learn all day, and we're asking kashya to kashya after kashya. The kashyas are good. We're supposed to ask kashya. We're supposed to understand. We're supposed to find tirutzim, hopefully, too. But that can never get in the way of our spiritual mitzvahs. shemir mitzvah, keeping a halakha, and understanding it are two separate things. We do mitzvahs because we're avdei Hashem, we're obedient, we listen, and we do as we're told. There's something called Limud Torah, which we're supposed to then do our best to understand what's happening. So the Chacham understands, right now I'm at the Seder, and I eat matzah because it's a chiv, and I eat marak because it's a chiv, and I tell the sleeper because it's a chiv. That's why I do it. But he's wanting to ask, outside the realm of his asiyah, he's like, okay, I want to understand what's happening. The Rasha says, no, I'm not doing it unless I understand. I need to understand it first. What's about Hazos Lachem? What is this avoda for you? And for him, it's an ikuv in the actual mitzvah itself. That's what Chasam Sofer writes. And it's a very important thing because that's nasa v'nishma. That's a yid is a be'esim and eved Hashem, an eved. We do as we're told. You know, if you're in the army and you're out in the battle and the officer gives you a command, you don't ask questions. You do as you're told. If you ask questions, then they can court martial you and they can penalty. There'll be penalties. After the battle, then you can ask later on. Well, you know, why did you think we should do it that way? You know, why did you do it the other way? You can talk in learning afterwards. To the officer. But depends on the relationship with the officer. But certainly, b'shas ma'isa, there's no questioning the officer's command. You do as you're told and finish because that's your job. You know, we're tzivos Hashem. We're in Hashem's army, and we do as we're told. And when it's not shas ma'isa, we can start. We handle with what's happening with this mitzvah. Why is the mitzvah this way? Why is it not that way? That's the point. Now we respond to the chacham. And the response to the Chacham is very interesting. Respond to him, this is the word af, you also tell him, like Kilchus Pesach, don't eat after you eat the karban. The same way we don't eat after the afikomen, so that's only a model for not eating after the karban Pesach itself. That's what you tell him. Now it's always interesting because the Torah gives a different answer to the Chacham. When you have in Reis Chanan, when the Chacham asks the question, that's where it's brought in the Torah, so the answer is totally different. The Chacham asks the question, and it says, Amarta Levincha, you tell your son, Avonu Yidu Paro Mitzrayim, we were slaves to Paro, Yitzin Hashem Mitzrayim B'yad Chazak, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand. V'yitin Hashem L'sosim Movesim V'gadol V'rayim Mitzrayim V'faro V'chul V'esel, and Hashem did all these wonder, these miracles, these crazy, terrible things to them before our eyes. V'losonu Mitzrayim, he took us out of there, in order to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem told us to all these chukim. We should fear Hashem. It's good for us all of our days. To give us life like this very day. It's stuck up for us. It's a whole arichas. And it's nothing to do with what God says. Very, very interesting thing. So what's the pshat? So, it's not talking about... The question itself is not negated pace. I mean, he said Yotzeinu Mitzrayim. He didn't say that part. Should we revadim Hashem Mitzrayim? He didn't say that.
The answer, but
the question is not necessarily negated pace.
What's
right.
The question again?
Ma eros asher tziva Hashem elokeinu aschem. What are these mitzvahs Hashem commanded you? That's the question.
Why is
there
all these
mitzvahs,
including like Shabbos? I mean,
we're
talking about Pesach here, like you said.
The Chacham seems to be having a broader... Yeah, it's a broader question. The Chacham.
It's not about broader questions.
It's about
Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It's
not talking about Pesach. The Pesach is not talking about Pesach at all.
Right. I mean, Pashas, I guess we get it from the, since the answer is of the Mayinu, the question we say is associated with Pesach in some way. But anyways, the answer given in the Torah is different than what we give in the Haggadah. So first is the Pashat point, is that the Haggadah is Af, and many Mepharshim say that Af means, of course, you answer like the Chumash says, but also you add in this extra point too. Right, that's the Af here. That's number one. That's the clue in Pshat. So certainly tell him this, but you also tell him this. That's the also. That's what this is also. You got to give him the full answer of the Chumash, and give him also the answer of the Haggadah. But what's the Chumash saying? What's the Chumash telling him? So this is Rav Hirsch says... Chassid says a similar thing as well. But he says that the Chacham was the one who's mavchim between Eidos, Chukim, Mishpatim. He says, yeah, there's some mitzvahs that I can understand, some I can't understand. That's what he says. So the first thing you tell him is that, you know, my son, we answer him, we say that they're all Chukim. Hashem told us to do all these Chukim. That at a certain level, all mitzvahs are Chukim. There's a certain point we can't understand mitzvahs. There's a certain point where we look at every mitzvah and we say, this is far beyond me. And even something you think is a Mishpat.
Oh.
We tell him, you think you're such a chacham. You have to know that your chachma is incredible, but realize there's a line for you as well. You know, everyone has their lines. And ultimately, we do mitzvahs because Hashem told us to do mitzvahs. Like the same thing we said before. We do mitzvahs because Hashem said so. And whether you understand it or not, there's a certain point where you say they're all chukim. And then you tell him, but it's all a tov lanu kol yamim, that it's all good for us. Even if you don't understand it, recognize that every single mitzvah is good. It's tzedakah tiyeh lanu. It's l'chayasinu kiyam hazeh. It's a chiyas for a yid. It's good for a yid. It's tzedakah for a yid. Every single thing a mitzvah is good, whether you understand it or not. That's the answer to the chacham. And then you go on, and you tell him, avat emor lo, emasrach ha-pesach ha-vikomit. You can't eat an afikom. You can't have a dessert after you eat the Karm Pesach. So what's that nekuda? So the Sifzei Chaim, I think, points this out. Sifzei Chaim says that if you look at the Gemara, why is there halacha can't eat after the Karm Pesach? So the Rashbam explains it there. So you have a Karm Pesach mipiv. You're not supposed to lose the taste of the Pesach in your mouth. Right? So we say this in the afikom. You eat your afikom, and the tam masa should remain in your mouth the entire night through. After Karm Pesach, you can't eat anything else. Right? Afikomen means the dessert, and you can't have any dessert after Karm Pesach.
And
our model, I said that before. Our model is the afikomen, and we don't eat after the afikomen.
Or we're saying not to
lose. When we say afikomen, it's a misnomer. Like, I mean, it's not really a misnomer.
Let's be clear. Yeah, right. But that's
people get confused.
Yes, people get confused between the two. Correct.
Between what?
The Eimachach Pesach Afikomen means that after you eat your Karm Pesach, you can't have any dessert following.
Afikomen is called the
dessert
that we eat.
Yeah. Yeah, our afikomen is just in place of the Karm Pesach, and we have the simulacha. You can't eat after the afikomen.
You can't eat after the afikomen.
Yeah. Before the main?
What?
Dessert before the main.
Dessert before the main? What do you mean?
I mean, you're having the meat last. You can't eat anything after that.
Exactly, yeah.
Dessert before the main.
There you go, right. You can have your ice cream and then have your karban. Awa silva. What's the nekuda there? You can't lose from your mouth the tam of Pesach. Right? You eat the karban, and the tam should remain. The taste should linger. So the Sifzei Chaim points out, you give him the shmuz, and you tell him that, you know, it's al chukim, you got to be obedient, whether you understand it or not, you got to fear Hashem and do what He says. So you might think, well, that's not so geschmack. I'm just like an Evid, and like there's no joy in that. I'm just a robot following instructions. So we tell him, no, understand this halacha. It says that the tam of the Pesach is so geschmack and so sweet. You make sure that the tam lingers in your mouth. You don't want that tam to leave you. Because you have to know that it's not that we're serving Hashem, we're bitter slaves of Karim Mitzrayim. We serve Hashem, there's a simcha, and there's a beauty. We love it, we want it, there's a chavivis, there's an ava. And if only that tam could be in our mouths, it'd be so geschmack to us. It's like you have a good piece of meat, you drink a good bottle of wine, you want the tam to linger. So when you do your mitzvah, right? If you like the wine, whatever you like eating, you want the tam to linger. So we tell him, understand number one, that it's all chukim, we don't understand that we're avadim, we do as we're told, etc. But then you have to understand how geshmak is v'devet Hashem. And the chavivis and the ava which we have in what we do in the mitzvahs, the chiyas comes from it, like it says in the pasuk. And you eat the afikomen and you say, ah, if only that taste could remain in my mouth forever, it'd be so amazing. That's what we tell the chacham. We don't want him to feel that everything is too much obedience and too strict. And that's the lashon. He says, tell him ke ilchus Pesach. You tell him it's like ilchus Pesach. He says, tell him that all mitzvahs are like this. It's not just eating the Karm Pesach that should be geshmak and remain in your mouth. But every mitzvah you do should have the same geshmak. So you tell him that all of Torah is like ilchus Pesach. It's like ilchus Pesach. You eat the karban and you want it to remain in your mouth forever. So to every mitzvah you do, you want that mitzvah to remain with you forever. And that's the nekuda you tell the chacham. I think the Chasam Sofer says in that as well, an interesting nekuda as well. He says that the point of Imam Tzarech Pesach Vekomi, says another nekuda, is that mitzvahs make a roshim on a person. He says that you can understand the Chacham's question, not just what does it mean, but what does it mean to Hashem? Like, why does Hashem care if I do a mitzvah or not? Like, what does it do for Him? And it's true. Hashem doesn't get anything from mitzvahs. You know, if chachamta l'chacham lach, whatever the pasuk says, you know, if you get wise, you didn't add to Hashem's wisdom. If you do a maisa, you add to Hashem in any way. Hashem remains unaffected by anything we do. So ma, you can understand ma is chukim. Like, what's the value of these? Like, why does Hashem care if we do them? And the answer to him is that it's not for Hashem, it's for us. So Hashem gets nachas for some on some level, whatever that means. But best it's for us, because it's supposed to make a roshim upon us. And Chav Sefer says, means that when you say that the tam remains in your mouth, it means that every mitzvah you do should keep make a roshim on you that remains forever. When you do a mitzvah, it should impact you. It should change you. And that change should remain with you your entire life. So that's how the Chav Sefer takes it. So it's not just the geshmak, but also the roshim made by the mitzvah. It should be a roshim which remains with you forever. Let's do a thing. Wait, one more thing, and then we'll do one more session with Hashem. The Russia, right? So the Russia comes in, and he says, "Ma vodah zos lachem?" What's the vodah? We already mentioned the nekuda of it's an ikuv in what I do, and I have to understand or else I'm not going to do it. And then we say he was hotis atzmi that calls come from the ikur. You say, because of this Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, me and not you, had you been there, you wouldn't have been nigo. That's what he says. So what's the nekuda here? Who says this, but the Abudram writes, I don't know who says the other part of the word, but the Abudram writes, he says that the Ma'a Voda Zos Lachem is that it's a tircha. Such a tircha. It's a voda. It's work. It's not fun. It's not exciting. You know, I want to eat. Like we said last time, you know, I'll get to the meal already. Hakeshinov. You know, Hakeshinov, they say, you knock at his teeth. He wants to eat. You say, no, we're knocking your teeth out. You got to wait. So you got to wait until the right time. Right? That's what we tell him. But he calls it a voda. It's a tircha to us. Like, you know, what's like, why do we have to bother ourselves with so many mitzvahs? And there's an akuda said, as well, that there's so many details, there's shiurim, there's halachas, there's all these pratim. It's so tedious. And the emes is, if it's just to be symbolic, we're eating matzah to remember the matzah in Mitzrayim, we're eating maror because it's bitter in Mitzrayim, then what's the big deal? You have to have exactly that kind of maror and this amount of it, and like, what's, you know, Aaron said once, like, you know, so it's July 4th, you want to remember, you know, you want to show covet to America, so you put out a flag. But like, you know, if your flag's a little bigger, a little bit smaller, if it's tilted this way or that way, like, it's still symbolic. Like, the symbolism is there. No one's going to come over to your house and you're not yitzit instead of the flag, because you did it. I said it was symbolic.
Well, of course, we'll give you a citation for misappropriate use of the national symbol.
Well, it could happen, but you know.
They do actually do that.
Not if it's a little bit too small or big. That's if it's like upside down or like...
You almost got one.
If it's like a bazillion.
If it's like a bazillion, then they might give you a ticket.
It's rained down. It's not happening.
If the point of the mitzvah is to be symbols. Yeah, but okay, I went on Mitzrayim, and I'm supposed to remember what happened, and I eat these things first, and I'd be symbolic. Why is it make such a big deal out of it? It's $22 a pound for the matzah, and you have to sit there in the bakery. Like, what's the big deal? That's the Russia. It's an avoda. It's a tircha. It's too much. So we answer him, but where's Sash and leave this Mitzrayim? You got it wrong. It's Makert. And then Shonim learn the Chumash this way. It's the Bavur Zeh. You think that the point was the freedom, and we eat the matzah to remember the freedom. It's Makert. Why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? Bavur Zeh. Hashem wanted us to eat matzah. Hashem wanted us to do mitzvahs. So we left Mitzrayim to do mitzvahs. They're not here to be symbols. They're the point. They're the tachlis. A symbol is just a chitimtza. It's supposed to remind us of a past event.
Who started this?
That's what says in Chumash. He says this on the Pasuk of Chumash.
The Bavur Zeh.
Rashi also is mashma this way in Chumash. The one who links it to the Russia's Kasha, I didn't write it in my notes. I can't remember who links it. It could be a Sifsi Chaim also. I didn't write it down in my notes who linked that link. But the point being that Bavur Zeh is Bavur Zeh, because of this, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. It's not that we do this because of Mitzrayim. This is the point of Mitzrayim. Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu asked for a siman. He says, how do I know we're leaving Mitzrayim, Hashem? Because when you leave, you're going to serve me on this mountain. Because the whole point of the leaving was to serve me on the mountain. To take the Lord Harsinai. That was the point. And the Russia says that, no, it's just so much tircha. He says, no, it's that the matzah is the emes. Eating the matzah is the goal. It's not a symbol. This is avodas Hashem. This is why we were freed. If you don't see the purpose of the mitzvahs, then you wouldn't deserve to be freed. I mean, we tell him, if you were there, you wouldn't have been niggle. Why? Because the whole purpose of freedom was these mitzvahs. If you were there, you'd have no schiyum because you're avoiding the whole purpose of being free. You don't understand why wouldn't you be free? You've lost it. So we tell him, you know, you knock his teeth out. You know, that's the point being that, you know, he wants to get through all this silly things and get into his meal. We tell him, forget about your meal, if you recognize what's happening here. What's the Sichayim? What was it?
Is that the Chumash too, by the way?
It isn't purchased. The Bavur Zeh. What?
No, do we say it? Is that says the
Chumash? Yeah, it's Chaim says this. Chaim says it. The Bavur Zeh. But the what was the one more thing I wanted to say? Bavur Zeh. I guess we'll hold with that. But that's the point you tell the Rosh is that you have to understand the tachlis of life. That you're not freed, and you want to remember it, but rather the whole purpose of leaving Mitzrayim was so that you could perform mitzvahs. And if you don't do that, then you're not zeichet to be part of Klal Yisrael, because that's why we're here. Okay, well, I'll hold it there. So, yeah. Ritz Hashem, we'll do one more on Monday night.
In fact, I